What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Every time you go away, you are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. And a very good morning and welcome to the studio, Adrian Munro from Richmond Wellbeing. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here. And good morning to all the listeners.
You're not normally here on a Monday.
No, but this is the biggest week of the year for me. It's Mental Health Week. And huge. This is really kind of like my Christmas. This is the biggest, best, most exciting week. And so much is a build up for this. And it's the time where we really focus so much on mental health, and we should be focusing on mental health every day, but it's our opportunity to be in the limelight this week, and we are making the most of it to bring as much message and information and prompting questions and thoughts in people's mind around mental health.
Love it, Adrian. Now, you're going to be in every day. Today's the start of it. And then Wednesday morning is going to be a great show because you've got a couple of special guests coming in to the studio, and we are going to be Facebook Live. We're going to go for the full hour on Wednesday.
Can't wait. Really
looking forward to having some great conversation. And you've just been sharing a little bit about your special guests coming in, and I can't wait to have a chat to those. But we'll talk about
all
that.
All I'll
bit
say
later.
Is that they have got fantastic guests coming in, and I am really looking forward. I think probably the Wednesday, the panel is probably the highlight of the week that I'm looking for this week.
So to kick things off today, tell us a little bit about the theme, because the theme changes every year, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the theme for mental health this year is looking at the youth and looking at youth mental health and the importance of it and having a focus on that. And it's important for many reasons. Obviously, the youth are the future of the country. But it is also, it's the case that we are seeing increased incidence of mental health issues in our youth and really across the population. Now, some people say, well, Adrian, it's just that, it's always been there, but now we're more aware of it. So we're noticing it more. That is not the case. So it is true that we are more aware of mental health and we talk about it more. That is true. But it is not the case that it's the same level of mental health. We know that. All the research says that we, and especially the youth of today, are experiencing more mental distress than youth of any other time when we've been keeping records. So for whatever reason, despite the fact that we've got more resources, and this is what people say when you read broadly on this, people will say, well, there's less, difficulties in society when we don't have 17-year-olds going off to war and we've got all these resources and it's relatively stable while we've got these mental health issues. And it's complex. There's many reasons behind it, but it's really important for us this week, especially to stop and think about the mental health of the youth and what we're doing to support strong mental health and to nurture them through, it's difficult being a youth in today's society.
Is that a difficult one to even to research and trying to explore? Because it would not just be one issue. I would imagine there'd be multiple contributors to this issue with our youth. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, well, there is lots of conversation around the impact of social media and technology. And look, it's hard to definitively pinpoint these things because it's still relatively new. Often we want to see certain, a couple of generations of youth come through before we make decisions. But there's certainly a lot of hypothesis out there of the negative impact that so much social media has had. So for children and youth to be able to see on social media and think, oh, well, maybe I should look like that. Maybe I should be like that. All these other people's lives are fantastic. Why isn't mine like that? So youth compare themselves to people on social media. That's what a lot of the research says. But what we also see is this lack of connection, of real personal connection. So especially for young people, and I know you've got kids and you would have seen this with your kids.
And grandkids as well.
Yes. Yeah. So, and we know that for youth, a lot of the research says that when they go through their teens, they often go through a period where their main group that they identify with and the most important people are their friends. So they might, what their friends think of them is so important. And yes, their family's there for them, but they put so much emphasis on, well, this person's been my best friend and now they're not talking to me and it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And we would think, well, we've got their family to fall back on. But for youth, their friends are so important, that friend circle. And it's a difficult time, a complicated time. But with social media, there's actually less connection. And we know that there is no substitute for personal connection in the community. And I'll tell you one thing I notice, right, that I see. Mm-hmm. I play indoor cricket on Thursday nights. And my team's fantastic. We've been playing for ages.
Yeah.
But we started in our late teens, we got a team together. And For the last 10 years, I've seen very, very few teams of guys, you know, 15 to 17-year-olds getting a team together to come and play on a Thursday night. It's all these guys who are getting old, who we've been playing together for 20 years. So all these other teams we play are in their guys in their late 30s or early 40s. And I think to myself, where is the next generation of 17, 18-year-olds getting together, just putting a team together?
Having some fun.
Yeah, and when you talk to the guys running the centres, they say, yeah, well, they're just, I don't know what the people in that age group are doing, but they don't join, they don't make cricket teams anymore. And I know people say, well, not everyone likes cricket. I get that.
Yeah.
But this is just an example of where people can come together, because nothing replaces in-person interactions and those friendships and a sense of community and sense of belonging. We know that the greatest protective mechanism for protecting your mental health is having a sense of community and a group of people where you can say, I belong in that group.
Brilliant.
And especially if you volunteer in that group, like at your club or community group or social group, and we're really struggling. Social media has had an impact. And again, there's lots of research and evidence out there. I'm not an expert on that, but you can see really clearly the way we interact in person is changing.
Interesting. Adrian, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. You can join the conversations this week, and you could be crowned a weekday's winner. You'll also walk away with $100 fuel card thanks to station sponsor Runabout Metals. There's plenty of conversations to be a part of, including today with my guest Adrian Munro from Richmond Wellbeing. Back after this one. John Farnham, classic. It takes us back to 1986. You're the voice. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Adrian Munro is with me. We've been talking about, it was mental health this week, and we got talking about youth. That's the theme, right?
Youth mental health.
And we were talking about, you were mentioning about the cricket, indoor cricket. Where are all the teenagers? Good morning, Felicity.
Good morning.
You'd like to contribute.
I'm not a teenager anymore.
Oh, come on, Felicity. You don't sound, you know, maybe a little bit older than a teen?
A little bit older than the teens, yes.
I love it. What are your thoughts?
When I came to Australia, I had no friends. And the first day at kindy, taking my daughter, I made friends with a few people. And do you know that it is now nearly 24 years later, and we still meet for lunch, we still meet for coffees, and they're friendships you can't be without.
Wow, that's amazing, Felicity.
Yeah, but you've got to make the effort, you know. You just have to make the effort. And because my kids and their kids too have seen the effort that we put in to keeping together, they are doing the same thing. My son's traveling around Australia at the moment, and he has gone right out of his way, massively out of his route, to catch up with a friend that he made when he was in primary school.
Wow.
Well, yeah, and he's now 43.
Wow.
It's important.
You don't sound that old, Felicity. But you know what? You've probably been such a great example, Felicity. You've actually been demonstrating that, which is why they pick
that
it up.
That's exactly what's happened, yep. Is they've seen me do it. And my husband was never very much for making friends. He used to hang on my strings, which is fine because you make friends in couples, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know what it is. I mean, I really don't know what it is. It's self-absorbence. You know, very few teenagers these days volunteer to do volunteer work. Come and pack Christmas boxes or things like that. Nah. Well, hang on. Why not?
Yeah. Felicity, really appreciate you calling in and joining the conversation this morning. You are in the draw to be a weekday's winner at the end of the week. Could walk away with a $100 fuel card. Great example, right?
Yeah,
excellent. Talking about actually demonstrating as parents, we're probably going to touch on that a bit later in the week, aren't we?
Yeah.
About the role of parents and even grandparents.
Yeah, it's setting the example, fostering and facilitating strong mental health and community ties.
So just to finish off this morning, Adrian, we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow.
Well, probably tomorrow I want to talk about some of the things that we can do to prepare people, the young people, for the future. And I know it might be down the track, but I often think about what is it that we can do to assist young people these days to be employable as adults and well-adjusted adults. And we know that, yes, at school, kids need to learn literacy and numeracy, absolutely. But we know that for people to be well-adjusted in community and employable, they need to have a strong sense of teamwork, they need to have resilience, they need to have creativity and problem-solving skills. And we need to make sure that we are providing opportunity for kids to develop those things. And for that, they need to be able to struggle. They need to be able to try and fail and try again. And we're not always so good these days at letting children adventure, take a bit of a risk, step out, fail. We have a lot of helicopter parents, and I can be as guilty as anyone of that, of wanting to protect their kids. But we need to provide environments where kids can not just find all the answers straight away on Google. We need, there's actually, you develop skills and creativity and problem skills from not being able to solve everything by Googling it in 2 seconds. So that's what I'll talk about tomorrow, is how we develop resilience and teamwork and problem solving skills. And again, we won't be solving it for the listeners, but really hopefully to challenge the listeners to think, okay, as a parent or a grandparent, I need to learn a bit more about that. How am I providing an environment where my child or grandchild or niece or nephew is able to learn problem-solving skills, build resilience, build that creativity and a sense of teamwork? Mm.
And you often, just to finish off, you often mention sport.
Yeah.
As a great, and as you're talking, then I know you often use sport as an example of you get to use all those experiences.
It's so good.
Even just joining a sporting team, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, when I see children who I coach, so I coach under 10s at Kalamunda Cricket Club, and they can learn so much. It's so good. I mean, the chance of any of these kids playing for Australia is 1,000,000 to 1. But they're not there to play for Australia.
Yeah.
They're developing skills. They're building confidence. They're working in a team. They have days where they take 2 wickets and the next day they get bowled out first ball.
And that's okay.
Exactly. That's life. And they're developing these skills. They're working with a team. Some of the kids they naturally get on with. Some of them they don't necessarily get on with. It's a mix of different people and they've got to come together and work together. That's life. It's such important skills, and they're learning the value of a sense of community, working with other people and, and having to contribute. Everyone's got to help out. Parents have got to do the scoring and someone's got to set the stumps up and set the cones up. It doesn't just happen. Mm. People have got to contribute. So many life lessons can be taught in community groups.
Before you go, Adrian, we're going to catch up tomorrow. You a pace bowler or spin bowler?
Medium pace.
Medium pace?
It's predominantly in swing bowling.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nowhere near as fast as I was these days, but mainly a swing bowler.
Really good fun. We'll catch up tomorrow.
Look forward to it.
My guest in the studio this morning has been Adrian Munro from Richmond Wellbeing. It is Mental Health Week this week, and we're going to continue the conversation tomorrow. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.